called onthisday.com. Onthisday.com. Anybody ever heard of it? It basically talks about significant events in history that happened on this day, on that particular day. You could type in the day. And so for March 27th, I found out a couple of interesting things. In the year 1613, the first English child was born in Canada on March 27th, 1613. The first English child was born in Canada. Did you know on March 27th, 1790, the modern shoelace and the shoe holes were invented? On this day in 1790. On this day in 1939, March 27th, the first NCAA basketball championship game was played. Any basketball fans following the March Madness? Oh, just a spattering. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. So it's significant for us, okay? Oregon beat Ohio State, by the way. shoelaces, basketball games. Even more significant events, like March 27, 1945, when General Eisenhower declared that the German Western Front defense lines were broken. Even events like that on this day have not radically altered the course of human history, like the event that we are here to celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? No invention, no military battle, no natural disaster, no human life or idea has made an earth-shattering difference that compares, even remotely, to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, on this day, from every corner of the world, from Canada to Kenya, from Peru to Portugal, from Japan to Jamaica, Christians are celebrating. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Why are so many millions from so many places, from so many walks of life, rejoicing with fellow Christians? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus still changes lives. Has your life been changed by Jesus Christ? Just say amen if your life has been changed by Jesus Christ. Many lives here in this congregation have been changed. This week, I snapped a few videos. Okay, I'm not a professional videographer, but I want you to watch the screen here and a few people share their testimonies. Well, we might have to actually turn the fans down a little bit just in order to hear it, but maybe not. Thank you. Enjoy this for a moment. Jesus changes lives. And he wants you to be patient.
Hey, my name is David Mann. For a few thoughts I have for you on this Sunday. So I became a Christian at a very young age. About 5 years old, I had accepted Christ in the car with my parents. And I was always a very inquisitive kid. I used to ask about 50 questions when I went to the supermarket. It was a 10-minute drive. I really wanted to know the deeper questions, and I didn't know at the time, but I really wanted assurance of salvation. And you see in Romans 10, 9, that if you clear from your mouth, Jesus is Lord, heart, if I'm raised from the dead, you will be saved. But I want that assurance that Jesus talks about John 10, that I give you life to the fullness. And that's the life that Jesus continues to give my life, even now at the age of university. I really started my faith going away to school and sort of taking that upon myself. And you know, God is so faithful that he continues to give me more and more. I don't want to be the same in my faith as I am next week. I want to be more and more changed. I want to be more and more like Christ. That sanctification promise that he promises. Paul also in Philippians 1:6 that he's faithful to continue the good work in you. He will do that, and I'm confident he'll do that in my place, because we remember this weekend, very significant weekend for a Christian, that on Friday, we remember that Jesus died, and it says in Galatians 2:20 that we were crucified with Christ. But and then we remember on Sunday that we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. The rest of that verse in Galatians 2:20 that we get older and overjoyed now, because today that Jesus rose, he ascended. That's the glory of the gospel, the glory is in the gospel. Going to heaven, and we go with him. He's got places for us. He's got many doors, and he's got rooms with many doors that are there for us. And we can live this life. And going further, Philippians 1, the Apostle Paul talks about, well, should I go to heaven and be with Christ? No, I can just stay here and live an example and make my conversation worthy of the gospel. That's what we need to do here. And we do that by becoming more and more like Christ, and sanctifying and allowing him to take over our lives. And
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Blair. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, David. Lives changed. This is the difference Jesus makes in the life of those who follow Him. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is central to God's message of good news in this event this Easter morning. It proved to the disciples and it proves to us that Jesus is more than just a mere man. He was the incarnate Son of God. And for 2,000 years, lives continue to be changed. I want you to turn your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If someone could find the Pew Bible page number, let me just shout it out. 1789, that was quick. I had to be Brad. 1789. 1 Corinthians 15, if your Bible looks like this, it's on 10:16. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 to 22. And you can follow along with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 to 22. Title of my message this morning is Resurrection Truths. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Amen? This is the word of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, your word is a lamp to our feet, it's a light to our path. As we read it, as we hear it read, as we hear it preached, give us grace to understand your truths, willingness to walk in their light, and the power of your Holy Spirit to seek its fulfillment to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Today, quite simply, I want to highlight five resurrection truths. Five resurrection truths, primarily out of this chapter of Scripture. So I hope you have your Bibles open with you for this, for these few minutes. I want to go right back to the beginning of our text today in 1 Corinthians 15. Starting at verse 3, actually. Notice a couple of verses here I want to highlight. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, the Apostle Paul says, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, some have fallen asleep. I want to glean a point out of there, although there are many in that passage, in that little text of Scripture. One of the things we could camp on for a long time is the reality of the resurrection. Hundreds of people saw Jesus after he was alive. Paul's writing this and saying, some of them, most of them, are still even alive. Right? If it was fake, if it was false, those living people would refute it. But the point I want to make to start is this. The resurrection is of first importance. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. This whole gospel is of first importance. The whole gospel, which is summed up in these few verses, verses 3 to 6. According to the scriptures, these are of first importance. You know, when something's important in your life, when something is of first importance in your life, you pay attention to it, don't you? But think of what's of first importance in your life today. Maybe what you thought about when you got up this morning was of first importance. Okay? My feet are going to hit the floor. Going to have a shower. Going to get dressed. Going to go here. You know, going to have breakfast. Maybe some of you are thinking, what's of first importance? Let's get the ham in the oven this afternoon or something like that, right? What is of first importance takes priority in our lives?
It's tax season, right? There's deadlines, right? It's of importance to get that done. I was sharing before the service, I had a birthday a few days ago. It's of first importance for me this week to get the sticker for my license plate before I get pulled over. That's of first importance. That's a high priority. I've been warned by an officer once before, years ago. So I don't want to roll the dice with that again. Is the resurrection in the gospel of first importance in your life? Is the resurrection in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ of first importance to you? In 1 Corinthians, God wants to make something very clear to us. The resurrection, the fact that Jesus is alive, that's a paramount idea. That's an idea of first importance. He goes on to talk a little bit about more of that, why that is, in a few minutes, and I'm going to get to that. But that's not the second point I want to make. The second point I want to make is this, that the resurrection happened according to God's word. Okay, if you're taking notes, it's point two. The resurrection happened according to God's word. And it's very clear in that the Apostle Paul repeats the idea twice. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried on the same and raised on the third day. Again, he says, according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. When you see phrases like that repeated word for word, just a couple of lines apart from each other, you know that the author is trying to get our attention with something. That's what we highlight, that's what we circle in your Bibles or do whatever. The phrase is referring to something that has already been written. It's according to the scriptures. It was already recorded. This was going to happen. Jesus was going to die. Jesus was going to be resurrected. It's not just a phenomenon that it didn't have something behind it. Matter of fact, the death and resurrection of Jesus were not a surprise to God, because they've been part of his redemption plan since the time sin came into the world. The sacrificial system of worship that the Jewish people participated in for hundreds and hundreds of years foreshadowed the ultimate sacrifice. Christ, the Passover lamb, on the cross, taking our sins upon himself. Like the animals that symbolically shed their blood for the people of Israel. Rising from the dead, Jesus proved victory over the grave. Victory over sin and death. The scriptures refer to the words of God and the incarnate Son. When Jesus said in the temple courts, "Destroy the temple and I will build it in 3 days." Now at that moment, they were confused about that. But after the resurrection, the disciples looked back and said, Jesus was talking about himself. This is a fulfillment of scripture. It's a fulfillment of the word of God. In Psalm 16, verse 10, it reads, "The Holy One will not see decay." The Holy One will not see decay. So just days before the resurrection, as well as hundreds of years before the resurrection, God revealed what was going to happen. It was all in accordance with the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. As the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes for us here in 1 Corinthians 15. Third resurrection truth I want to highlight today is this, that our faith and message stand on resurrection truth. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, your faith, my faith, it stands on this reality and stands on this truth. Notice verse 14 in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice verse 14, we read it earlier. If Christ has not been raised, what is our preaching? What is my preaching? Just tell me. Go ahead. Useless. It's useless, right? If Christ has not been raised, my preaching, the preaching of any pastor, is useless. It's useless. And not just that, so is your faith. So is my faith. Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. The preaching of the gospel, the proclaiming of truth, is what leads to faith. How can they believe in the one they have not heard? Romans 10:14. So, here in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is saying both his preaching that leads to faith and the faith itself is useless if Jesus is not alive. It's absolutely useless. And if that were the case, we might as well pack up and go home right now, right? Might as well pack up and go home. If Jesus is not alive today, then we're wasting each other's time. Because I'm sure there's other things you could think about doing on a Sunday morning. Have to do with sleeping or something like that. The resurrection is that vital. It is that essential to what we know and believe is true. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then we're just another social club. We're just another self-help group. And believe me, there's lots of those out there to go around. You want to know what's really tragic? Some churches are actually turning that way. They're turning into social clubs and self-help groups. God's word is MIA. The gospel is missing in action. Jesus and the resurrection are MIA in some churches on Sunday mornings. The gospel is nowhere to be found. It's actually beyond tragic. As a matter of fact, in the Globe and Mail, an article I noticed, one mainline minister in Toronto called the Bible and Jesus mythology. A pastor called the Bible and Jesus mythology in Toronto. God's word is so clear. If what we celebrate today is not true, then yes, it is mythology. Our faith is futile. The words are empty. But the Apostle Paul points out here, this event is a foundation stone. And if this is pulled away, the whole house collapses. We live in a society with increasing pressure to deny Jesus, to deny the gospel, to deny the word of God, to deny the resurrection, to deny Jesus. Someone told me the other day there's a book out there at Costco, Jesus Wasn't Real or something like that. This is the world we live in. So it's constantly an onslaught to the genuine, sincere believer. So stay on guard, church. Hold fast to the faith. We stand on the truth. We don't stand on ideas that come and go over the decades. Human ideas push people around like chaff in the wind. So we need to be rooted to the truth. Our faith and message stand on resurrection truth. Fourthly, sin and death are conquered through the resurrection. Sin and death are conquered through the resurrection. Notice verses 17 to 20. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, that is, died, in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. 54 to 57 there, further on, says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin and death are conquered through the resurrection. Just yesterday, I was at home in the afternoon and noticed a police car pulled somebody over in front of the house. And you can imagine my five-year-old with his big eyes quickly got to the front window and watched this whole interaction. Lights going, poor guy in the pickup truck there, sulking in front of him, the cop. He proceeded to give him a ticket, and the officer got such a kick out of it, he waved to my kids like two or three times. I was like, come on back, kids, come on, come on. So what appeared to be happening there was quite obvious, right? Somebody broke the law. And the policeman who's upholding the law handed the ticket. He handed the consequence to to the lawbreaker. The consequence of our sin, our falling short of the holiness of God, is death. Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death. It's more than the price of a ticket. It's more than a life sentence. It's an eternal sentence. And on the cross, Jesus took our sin. He took a death sentence for us upon Himself. And Romans 4:25 says, He was delivered over to death for our sins. For your sins, for mine. Jesus was delivered to death. He, the sinless Lamb of God, who didn't deserve to be there, but willingly went because He loves us. And that verse in Romans 4:25 continues to say, He was raised for our justification. Raised for our justification. Delivered over to death for our sins, but raised. Raised to life for our justification. When Christ was raised from the dead, God was making a declaration of approval. He approved of the work that Jesus did in the grave. He approved of the work that Jesus had done on that cross. He approved and raised Him up. He did not need to stay in the grave any longer. The work was completed. No more penalty left to pay. Jesus had paid it all. God approved His work, and no more guilt and separation was required. So God raised Him up, victorious over death. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 reads this way, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." God made us alive with Christ, and it is by grace that we are saved. Now, I could have walked outside yesterday afternoon and offered to pay that guy's ticket, right? $100, $120, I don't know, whatever. No, I could have. I didn't, okay? I didn't. He took off so fast, I couldn't. Police officer. Hi, kids. But you know what? You and I were guilty of something so great that I couldn't pay it for you, and you couldn't pay mine, because it was a death sentence, and it was an eternal life sentence. Only Jesus could pay it. Only Jesus could justify us so that we can stand before the righteous judge and be acquitted and leave that courtroom. Not guilty. Not because of us, because we are guilty. But washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we have a new position. And that position is that we are justified. Justified. Sin and death are conquered through the resurrection. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, we are still in our sins. Because they needed to be paid for. They needed to be erased. The blood needed to be shed. And He needed to prove He was greater than the grave. Otherwise, we would just go there too. But He was greater. He can give us life. He can give us everlasting life because He has conquered the curse of sin. Where, O death, is your victory? Right? Where, O death, is your sting? In 1 Peter 3, we read, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth. He has made our hope alive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead into an inheritance that can never spoil or fade or perish. It's kept in heaven for you. It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that we have hope." Finally, number 5, in light of the resurrection, resolutely serve. I want to close this morning with the final verse of 1 Corinthians 15. Look at there if you have it in front of you. What's the final verse of this long chapter? 58 verses about the resurrection. What is this last verse? How does the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, sum it up for us. What does he say to the church, to us? Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Therefore, brothers, sisters, grandmothers, nieces, nephews, church, if you're a believer, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always, always, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Fully to the work of the Lord. To the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain, church. Because Christ was raised from the dead, and because one day we will live with him forever, we are urged to continue in him with all that we are. Hear this verse read in the Amplified Bible. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, be immovable, be always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion, in the Lord is not futile, it's not wasted, and it's never without purpose. God is looking for laborers. He's looking for hard kingdom workers, willing to get worn down, willing to put up with offenses, willing to serve God when it's not easy. Why else would it be called work? Why else would it be called work? No believer is exempt from this call. And many of you know that so well, because you work, you serve the Lord. You put sausages on early in the morning for people like me and others. There's so many ways that we work and serve each other. But be encouraged. God didn't give up in the grave. Can you imagine if he threw in the towel? Forget this. One whipping was enough. One crown of thorns was enough. I'm done. No. He went through it all and didn't have to. Didn't deserve to. Jesus didn't take the easy way out. He suffered and he died and he rose again for you. For you. For you. For me. That is a love worth living for. That is a love worth committing our lives to laboring for. Let's do it together. And in even greater ways, for the glory of God, in Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Let us pray. So Father, we thank you. Just five resurrection truths. But we could talk about this all day, because this has changed human history for 2,000 years. And until you return, the resurrection continues to change lives. Thank you that you're alive. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that has not bowed their knee to you, they have not embraced you as Lord and Savior of their lives, my prayer is that they'll do that today. That they'll come forward. That they'll speak to me or speak to someone. This is what Easter is about. It's about your love. That you so love the world that you gave your only Son. That whoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, it's in you we put our hope. It's in the reality of the resurrection that we rejoice today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.